This evening, this afternoon, I want to read a passage. I think this is the same passage that we read in the morning during our sunrise service, but it comes from John chapter 20. Why don't I read this to all of us, and maybe you can follow on the screen, or you're welcome to just close your eyes and listen. This is actually what happened the day after the resurrection of Jesus, it's just like today. So let me just read from verse 19 of chapter 20. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sin, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Amen. This is the word of God. Now, today has been exciting, just filled with a lot of joy and laughter. The question that I have is this: what happens tomorrow? We get to celebrate once a year the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there was shouting, there was praise, there were a lot of hallelujahs. But what happens tomorrow when you wake up? For many of you, you're already dreading the idea of waking up tomorrow morning, right? After a long day, you wish you would go and have a vacation. Sandy and I are planning to take a week off and we're going to have a vacation. So we get to enjoy, I get to sleep in tomorrow. But what happens tomorrow after a day like this? What difference does it make? Is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, is this something that we celebrate only once a year? Or does it really have an impact on how we live our lives day to day? You know, what's really amazing in this passage that we just read, in John chapter 20, Jesus actually answers this question three times in this passage. That happens over the span of 1 week. Three times, Jesus appears before the disciples and he says, what? "Peace be with you." Now, some people might say that this is just a common form of greeting, right? In Jewish culture, everybody says shalom or peace. But Jesus appears before his disciples. For three times, he says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Up until this point, I want you to consider this. Up until Jesus appeared in his resurrected body, his ministry and his life was an utter failure, utter disaster. What were the disciples doing? Jesus came and spent 3.5 years of his life teaching them about the kingdom of God, showing signs and wonders, even giving the sight to the blind and raising the dead, declaring about the power of resurrection and the power of the coming kingdom. He spent 3.5 years pouring into the lives of these 12 disciples and beyond. And then he gets arrested, he gets crucified, and now he's dead, he's gone. What happened to the disciples? What were they doing? They were trembling in fear, locked behind their doors, and they didn't know what to do. They forgot everything that Jesus actually had taught them. And then another week goes by. Even after Jesus appeared, do you remember? Even after Jesus said, "Peace be with you," twice, the very week after, when Thomas was with them, it says that they were still locking their doors and they were cowering in their fear, in their house, in their homes. So when you look at Jesus' ministry up until this point, you cannot really call it a success. But something happened on that day. Jesus not only spoke three times, "Peace be with you," but it says that he actually breathed upon them and he gave his Holy Spirit to the disciples. Something must have happened on that day. There is real power that we're talking about, the power of resurrection, the power of this peace that Jesus wants to give is real. Now, many people have come to me and challenged this whole idea of resurrection, especially those people who do not believe in Jesus. I've read articles, even on like news sites like CNN. Oftentimes, they will have these articles about whether they can prove or disprove whether Jesus was real, whether he actually resurrected from the dead or not. If you ask from me if I can actually provide you a real proof, I don't think I can give you any forensic proof or scientific proof. I cannot go back and give you a DNA testing. I don't have such proof. But there's an undeniable truth that Jesus must have really resurrected from the dead. There's an explanation that cannot be explained or unexplained by any scientific or forensic evidence. It's actually what happened to the disciples. These disciples who are cowering in fear. You know, if the Bible was actually just a made-up story or a myth, they would not include stories like this that we just read. Because it seems like they're just all failures, right? These disciples who said that, "Jesus, I'll die for you. I'll give you my life." After all these confessions, after Jesus was gone, they were all scared. They were all cowering in fear behind locked doors. But the Bible is really honest about where they were. But it's actually the stories of what actually happens to them afterwards, after Jesus actually appeared. Resurrection of our Lord, this event is really what changed everything. And especially on that day when Jesus appeared in his resurrected glory, and when the disciples saw with their own eyes and heard the word of Jesus giving this gift of peace, something happened in their life, in their heart, and their lives completely changed. May this serve as a proof or evidence that Jesus actually truly resurrected from the dead. I want to give you some stories. If you actually go back and research some of the stories, these are not actually found in the Bible, but there are stories after stories that are written about what actually happened to the disciples of Jesus Christ, those apostles and the early church believers that we hear about. Some are actually found in the Bible. The first person who was martyr for his faith, do you remember his name? He was Stephen. Now, he was not even one of the 12 disciples. He was just a follower of Christ. In Acts chapter 7, we hear about the story of this man, Stephen. He was one of the deacons of the early church. He probably had never met Jesus in person or face to face. Maybe he had. I don't know. But he's being dragged out of the city because he preached about Christ to the Jews, and the Jews were so upset that they drag him out of the city, and now they're stoning him to death. He's the first person who would actually die for his faith in Christ. And as he was being stoned to death, do you remember his last words in the book of Acts chapter 7? It's remarkable. He says, Father, Jesus, Lord, I give my spirit into your hand. And then he repeats what Jesus said on that cross, and he says, Father, or Jesus, do not count this sin against them. Towards those people who were angry with him, who were killing him, who were stoning him to death. That's what happened to Stephen. How is it possible? The second person is actually one of the very first apostles that was killed. In Acts chapter 12, you hear about this man named James. He was one of the 12 disciples, son of Zebedee. This James was beheaded. The Bible only tells us one line that says James was beheaded, but there's actually a story behind him. It was actually a man who brought a charge against James. And again, you can find out some of these stories from historical books. If you want to find out and read about it, you can come and let me know. But this man, James, he was brought to the court because of this accusation. And right there, because of his faith in Christ, that he was condemned. He was sentenced to death. And as he was walking out, and we know that he was beheaded, this man who actually brought this accusation was so impressed, so challenged and moved by the way he behaved in the court, by his countenance, by his graciousness, and by his firm belief, that the history tells us that this man who accused of James actually converted. He gave his own life to Christ right there. And on the way out, the day that James was being executed, he actually met with James and he apologized. He said, please forgive me. And then James looked at him and said the same thing that Jesus spoke to the disciples on that day. Peace be with you. And he looked at him and he kissed him. This was in AD 36, 36 years AD. The history tells us that the two of them were beheaded on the same day. James and the man who brought charge against James. They both died as Christians. You know the story of Matthew, the tax collector. This history tells us that Matthew was actually also martyred in Ethiopia. The king of Ethiopia ordered Matthew to be killed. There was another James, whom many consider the brother of Jesus. History tells us that he was thrown from the temple, the peak of the temple, and he was stoned and beaten to death. Do you remember what happened to the brother of Jesus? If you read the gospel, when Jesus was about to go up to the Jewish feast of Passover, I think it was actually the Feast of Tabernacle. When Jesus was going up, the brothers, Jesus' own brothers, actually challenged him, and they actually mocked him for not showing up at that feast and really proving who he was by showing these miraculous signs. Do you remember this story? Some of you might remember this story. Now, this was Jesus' own brother mocking him. Later on, he became a follower of his own brother, Christ. And here we hear the story of how he also gave his own life. How is it possible that when this brother mocked our Lord Jesus when he was alive, if the resurrection was not true, if he had not really risen from the dead, how is it possible that he himself would actually give his own life for the one that he mocked in the past? Matthias, he was not the original one of the 12. He was the replacement for Judah. The history tells us that Matthias was also beheaded for his faith in Christ. Some people might think, what a tragedy, you know? You get picked to replace somebody and then you get beheaded in the end. But willingly, he went to his own death. John Mark, the one who gave us the book of Mark, the most vivid history of Jesus' ministry, The history tells us that his body was torn to pieces until his flesh actually stuck to the stones on the ground. Doubting Thomas in this story, the guy who said, until I see the nail marks, until I get to put my hand on his side, I would not believe. Jesus said, now you have seen and you have believed. You know what happened to this doubting Thomas? He was speared to death. How is it possible that on that day, if he had not really touched the nail marks on the body of Jesus, he had not really seen the spear marks of his Lord and Savior, how is it possible that he would actually be killed by a spear? Philip, Jude, Bartholomew, Simon, these are some of the disciples, all of them. You know what happened to their life? They were all crucified just like their own master. Luke, the one who gave us the Gospel of Luke and the one who also wrote the book of Acts. Again, he was a doctor. He was not one of the 12 disciples. He was not an eyewitness, or maybe he had seen Jesus in his lifetime. The history tells us that he was hanged on an olive tree by some priest from Greece. Peter, the one who denied Jesus 3 times when he was alive. The one who said, I'll never leave you, Lord. You remember what happened after Jesus died? He went back and he became a fisherman. He was so discouraged. He just left the ministry. When Jesus appeared to him again, his life changed. You read what actually happens to Peter is remarkable. The Peter we read about in the Gospels is very, very different from the Peter that we see in the book of Acts. He stands in front of the Jews and he preaches this magnificent sermon. And on that day, it says 3,000 people followed. This Peter was also crucified. But the history also tells us that Peter did not want to be crucified in the same manner as his Lord and Savior. So he requested that he would be crucified upside down on the cross. Because he said, I'm not worthy to die in the same manner as my Lord. Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament books, he was also beheaded. The Bible does not record what happened to him. It ends with this open end where he was actually house arrested. But the tradition tells us that Paul was also beheaded. Barnabas, who actually led Paul to the disciples, he was dragged out of the city and he was burnt alive. If these were not enough, more than 2,000 people in that very first century, 2,000 followers of Christ, they all went to their own death, professing, declaring that Jesus is Lord. Again, if you read the history, it tells us that as the persecution broke out, all they had to say to save their life was, Caesar is Lord. Instead of declaring that Jesus is Lord, all they had to say was, Caesar is Lord. And they refused to say those 3 words. And they continued to declare that Jesus is Lord. And they went to their own death. These were the disciples who were hiding behind the locked doors, fearing for their lives, fearing for their safety. I want to ask you today, if their eyes had not seen the risen Lord on that day, how is it possible? How is it possible for them to throw away their lives like these? If this was just a fabricated story, or the disciples made up about all the miracles and all the story of his death and resurrection, how is it even possible that they would actually die for a made-up story, the stories that they fabricated, whether it was a fraud or a myth? How is it possible? That day, they must have seen their risen Lord with their own eyes. And on that day, when Jesus said, "Peace be with you," something came over their fear. Something pierced through these layers of fear and anxiety. When Jesus actually breathed upon them and he said, "Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," something actually took over their hearts, their fearful hearts. Something must have filled them. Something must have really empowered them to go out and to be his witnesses. This peace that Jesus spoke of, I don't think this is just a form of greeting or a well wish. Jesus spoke of this peace many times. John chapter 14, 27, Jesus promised to the disciples, "The peace I give to you, this is not like any peace that you would receive from this world." Paul talked about this peace, peace that surpasses all understanding. It doesn't make any sense. When you have this peace of God, you can go through anything in this life and it will surpass any wisdom or understanding of this world. That's the kind of peace that Jesus gave to the disciples. And I believe that this gift of peace was real. And what I believe is that this same peace is available to you and me. How do we get this peace? Very simple. Everything that we receive from the Lord is by faith. All we have to believe is that Jesus wants to give us that peace. And that we humbly are willing to receive. Verse 29, we just read. "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Do you know what this verse is telling us? You look at the lives of the disciples. You know, they were incredibly blessed. They were empowered. They went through, the excitement of even seeing the risen Lord, that must have been awesome, right? Some of us, we wish that we could have been there. Jesus is telling us, we who believe without actually seeing this risen Lord, Jesus Christ, were even more blessed than those who were there. If we receive this gift of peace from the Lord, if we receive the power of the Holy Spirit, that will empower us to go through any challenges or any persecutions or sufferings in this life, we would be even more blessed than those early disciples. I want us to really pray this prayer tonight. I think I can say tonight. We passed the 5:30 mark, right? We can pray for this gift of peace. I also wanted to really pray for those who were baptized this morning. Don is not with us, but we can still pray for him. Hiro and Rosa. Moonjae is here. Jesus did not promise us that when we get baptized and when we decide to follow him, he did not say that our lives will go easier. He did not say that we will live a trouble-free life. In fact, Jesus said the opposite. It's actually going to get harder because you want to love and follow this Lord Jesus Christ. In this life, you're going to face more persecutions. Jesus said, "The world will hate you because it hated me." But what we really need from the Lord is this gift of peace that Jesus wants to give to us. It's not just for the early believers. It is for everyone who is willing to follow Christ in this life. So I want us to spend some time laying hands on Hiro, Rosa, and Moonjae, and even for the rest of us. I think we desperately need to receive this gift of peace from the Lord. We need Jesus to really breathe this Holy Spirit upon us once again. I also want to pray for the church, for us. If you can just reach out one hand towards the Lord and then take the other hand and put it on your heart. And let's believe together that this gift of peace that Jesus spoke over his disciples is also available, real for us today, right here in this place. Lord, by faith, we receive this gift of peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, the peace that transcends all of our fears and anxiety. Lord, we ask you to pour out this peace into every one of us that are standing here in your name. Some of us are going through the threat of death, fears of death, Lord. Some of us are grieving over the loss of our loved ones. Some of us are concerned about the future of our siblings and are those that are struggling, those that are facing tremendous challenges in life. There's some of us, Lord, who are just fearful of losing our job or not having security for our future. There's some of us that are struggling even just to be a witness, Lord, because there's just so much voice that's speaking against us. Wherever we are, whatever we are going through, Lord, as your church, we receive this gift of peace. We receive the breath of God that spoke over the disciples and empowered them to go out and live out their faith. We receive the same gift today. We pray for this community of New Vine, that we will not be like those early disciples who were locked in fear and standing behind locked doors. But Lord, we want to receive the gift of courage to go out from this place and live out our faith and share this peace that you have given to us, Lord. So empower us, empower your church today. Thank you for calling us to be together in this season. Fill us with your Holy Spirit right now, Lord, so that we can be a mouthpiece, a testimony of your glory and power of your resurrection. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Amen. Amen. Amen.